हरि ओम सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यंकरवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ओम शांति 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 ओम जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय। So now we're on chapter 25, Arjuna goes to heaven. When the Brahmins determined an auspicious day, Yudhishthira taught Arjuna the Pratismiti mantras. The king had delayed teaching him as he knew that Arjuna would leave for the Himalayas as soon as he had the knowledge. It would be difficult to live without him, but it was Vyasadeva's desire that he go. So Yudhishthira knew the separation could not be avoided forever. Ultimately, it was probably their only chance to be successful in recovering their kingdom. Taking Arjuna aside, Yudhishthira held him by the hands and said, O descendant of Bharata, the four divisions of the science of arms are held by Bhishma, Drona, Kripa, Karna, and Ashwatthama. They have all received divine instructions and now know how to use every sort of a weapon. Right? So these have to be mentioned because these are the ones that will be on the side of the Kauravas. Having been honored, gratified, and supported by Duryodhana, they always seek to do him good. We should not doubt that they will support him in battle, right? Because they're being maintained by him, right? It means they're doing their duties and all that, and he's providing them with facility. And so then if he provides them a facility for all these years, you know, it has been, the crown has been taking care of them all this time, and it will continue while they're in the forest for the 13 years. So it would be improper for them to just suddenly drop Duryodhana and go to the Pandavas. So that's the understanding that's there, is they have that obligation. We should not doubt that they will support him in battle. The whole world is now under Duryodhana's sway, and he is our avowed enemy. You are our sole refuge. Depending on you, we shall regain our kingdom from Duryodhana. Listen now as I tell you what should be done. Yudhishthira then informed Arjuna of Vyasadeva's instructions. He told him that he should leave as soon as possible for the Himalayas, and by meditating on the mantras he was now going to repeat, he should seek the god's audience in order to receive their weapons. Quote, allow me to initiate you today, O virtuous one, and go at once to propitiate Indra. Being pleased with you, I am sure Indra will give you his weapons, and by his order so will the other gods. Yeah, so then Vyasadeva is given this instruction, and they work always under the authority of the seniors of the scripture and things like that. So that's why you see in the long run they're always successful, because they're supported by the pious persons, the demigods, the sages. They all support. Now Duryodhana may not support, and he may have his people who don't support, but that's just the thing. They're quite comfortable giving up the directions of the higher directions of the scriptures for gaining what they want. So in other words, they will take niti as more important, or art as more important than the dharma. Well, then we see the Pandavas always, it's dharma and bhakti. Arjuna fully controlled his mind and senses. Then with due rites, Yudhishthira bestowed the Pratismiti mantras on him. Then, when he was finished, Yudhishthira stood up, with tears pricking his eyes as he thought of Arjuna's separation. Now go, dear brother. With his arms and hands clad in iguana skin gauntlets and gloves, and his body covered in golden mail, Arjuna took up his Gandiva bow and his two inexhaustible quivers and stood ready to depart. Right, so generally speaking, in most people, they just have, you know, the one set of these gauntlet, you know, they have one gauntlet and one glove. You know, you have the glove that for the fingers for grabbing the string and all that, so you don't wear. And they have one on the arm so that when you shoot, it doesn't hit. But because he can shoot with both hands, he wears both sets, right? So then he can shoot this way or shoot that way. It's not that, you know, he stops, hey, wait 1 second, okay, he takes them off, puts them on the other hand. Okay, let's say no. like that. So he'll be unique. That's how you know it's Arjuna, because he wears two sets, because he has two quivers, because he can shoot equally well with both hands. Arjuna took up his Gandiva bow and two inexhaustible quivers and stood ready to depart. Brahmins and Siddhas uttered blessings upon him. Not knowing how long he would be gone, he bade an affectionate farewell to his brothers. As Arjuna was about to depart, Draupadi came before him and said, O mighty armed Dhananjaya, may all that the noble Kunti desired at your birth and all that you yourself desire be accomplished. May none of us ever take birth again. May none of us ever take birth again in this terrible Kshatriya order. I offer my respects to the ascetic Brahmanas, who are detached from this miserable world. My heart still burns with Duryodhana's insult, but today I grieve even more, because you are departing. In your absence, we will spend our time thinking only of you. There will be no joy without you. All our hopes rest in you. O hero, may the Lord and all his energies protect you at all times, and may success be yours. Go now and attain your goal. Right? So then he's gotten the blessings of his brothers, of the Brahmins and sages, and now of his of Draupadi, who's, you know, a chaste woman, chaste wife. And so all this then together. So he sees that she's pointing out, as we see Kunti Devi also, because why are they pointing out? Because they're devotees. So devotees are naturally on that transcendental platform, they have all the qualities of the Brahmins. But they perform their duties as Kshatriyas, because that's the nature that they have. But you see, is the consciousness will be higher. So they have the mental and physical and intellectual abilities to do, nature to do the Kshatriya duties. And so that's what they do. So even though the Vaishnavas, because the consciousness becomes elevated, the natural duties remain. And so she's pointing out that the Kshatriya duties, and so much politics, so much other things, so much bad qualities and all that, because of the desire for power, or those desire for fame and control and all these things like that, enjoyment. So she's saying, the Brahmins are in a much better position because they're detached from the world, they perform their devotional service and like this, go back to Godhead, so much nicer. So her point is that may he always be protected, may all his desires be fulfilled, may all the desires of his mother be fulfilled, what she was thinking at the time of his birth, his appearance, and what he would do. Because Grihasthas, then, as part of the Garbhadhan Samskar, then they're meditating on what kind of child they're looking for. So the husband and wife would, months before meeting, discuss what the qualities of the child they're looking for. And so then the qualities that would be there in Arjuna, then that would be naturally there, and then calling Indra, then he would have those kind of qualities. Yeah. Arjuna smiled at Draupadi, circumambulated his brothers and Domya, and then began running swiftly along the path. Right, he smiled at Draupadi because that's the interaction. The brothers, he's respectful in Domya, and then as soon as that's done, then he began running swiftly along the path, frightening creatures along the way with his speed. Right, so he's running very quickly. By chanting the mantras Yudhishthir had given him, he felt himself traveling over mountains and forests at the speed of mind, because that was the point of Pratismiti. So you can go anywhere you want. So he's chanting the mantras, and then with that speed, he'll be in a moment, to be up in the Himalayas, way up high, where he can perform his austerities and meet the demigods. By the end of the first day, he arrived at the great Mandara mountain. Arjuna stopped and looked around. The mountain was beautiful, with its bluish stone rising up into the clouds. It was covered with blossoming trees and many colored flowers, creating rich tableaus, and their scent captivating his mind. The sound of peacocks, cranes, and cuckoos filled the air, and he could see siddhas and charanas sporting on the mountain slopes, right? Because he wants to do his austerities and get the darshan of the demigods, so he goes, because you have the mantras, he goes up to where the demigods are. It means in the Himalayas, not to the heavenly planets itself. Arjuna decided to climb the mountain and begin his austerities there. Right, so he's already found a very nice place where the demigods come and associate. So he'll go up there and find some nice place where he could be peaceful and everything. Upon reaching a plateau high on the mountain, he suddenly heard a voice resounding in the sky. Stop! Arjuna looked around and saw an ascetic sitting at the foot of a tree. The tawny-colored Brahmin had a brilliant aura. His lean body was covered in deerskin, and his matted locks hung down to his shoulders. The ascetic said, "O child, who are you? You appear to be a Kshatriya. Do you not know that this is the abode of peaceful Brahmanas, who are free from anger?" Right? Because the Kshatriyas, they tend to be angry and fight. And the point is, this is a Brahmin's place, so it's not technically for you. Even to have been able to reach this spot indicates you are already attained to a high state of purity. Right? Because one is because of his pure devotion that he has that. But still, even just in the Kshatriya Dharma, they do everything properly. They respect their authorities. They're regulated. They control the senses. And now he's been initiated in these Pratismriti mantras, and then chanting that, and then on the order of his elder brother, who's like his guru, and Vyasadeva, who's their guru. Now he's done and he's come there. So just that he could come to this point, no one else could come here. Only the great sages could come. Now perfect your life. You have no need of weapons here. Throw them away. Arjuna made it clear that he had no plans to renounce his weapons, right? His whole point is you don't have any weapons. You throw them away. You've come to this point. It's for the great sages. You've come here, even though you're a Kshatriya, obviously. But, you have the qualifications. So throw away them and sit down and all that. But Arjuna is going to make the point that, no. I have a purpose. And so then I'm keeping the weapons. I'm not going to give up my position and my duties, just for my own benefit. Arjuna made it clear they had no plan to renounce his weapons. I need my weapons to serve my elder brother Yudhishthira, right? So it's authority, who has been wrongly deprived of his kingdom. Oh, Brahmana, I will not cast them aside, right? Because Brahman's saying to cast them aside, no, I can't because I have duties, so I require them. Seeing Arjuna's dedication to duty, the ascetic replied, O slayer of foes, I am pleased with you. Know me to be Shakra, king of the gods. Ask me for a boon. Arjuna was overjoyed, right? Except he was going to go meet Indra, go do the austerities to get Indra to come. And he hasn't even started. He's already met him, right? But there's always the thing is that because Shakra is also his father, right? So then whenever it's going to be there, whenever they would think of them and like this, then they would show up just like Vyasadeva when you think of him for his mother and for the Panth, he'll arrive at that. So just his austerities were so great, he was already, in a position qualified to meet. Right? Others have to qualify themselves and pure. He was already on that qualified platform. Arjuna was overjoyed. Here was Indra. With folded hands, he said, "O exalted one, the boon I desire is that you bestow all your weapons upon me." Indra smiled. "O Dhananjaya, I can grant you life in the celestial regions of bliss. Ask for this. Why do you desire only my weapons?" Right? Because these things are there. You're asking these things, and it's nice to ask these things and to offer these things, but it's also a test on, what is he actually focused on? Is it about performing his duties and that? Or, if he's offered to live in the heavenly planets, then he might take that. If you offer that to Duryodhana, there's a good chance he'd take that. He wouldn't think, no, I have to, mend my kingdom and take care and, serve my father and serve my gurus. No, he's just going to say, okay, cool, like that. But here we see is that Arjuna won't follow that path. Right, and so then it's even more. So he wouldn't give up the weapons because he needed them for his duty to his elder brother. And at the same time, he's just saying, "But I'll take you. Why you're asking for weapons? I'll take you to the heavenly planets. How could I incur the world's condemnation by not avenging myself on the enemy and by abandoning my brothers in the forest?" Arjuna's anger rose as he remembered Duryodhana's treachery. Indra spoke gently. "O child, when you meet Shiva, I will give you all my weapons. Try to propitiate him, for he is the greatest of the gods. By seeing the three-eyed wielder of the trident, all your desires will be fulfilled." After saying this, Indra disappeared, and Arjuna was left alone. He decided to remain where he was and begin his austerities in the worship of Shiva, right? Because why go to another place? This is where Indra was sitting and you know, doing his you know, sitting as a Brahmin and all that. And so it's a perfect place. He wouldn't have picked some bad place. He would have picked a very nice place to sit down, because he knew Arjuna is coming that way. And so then he picked the place for him. He took off his armor and set his weapons down by the same tree where Indra had sat. The tree was situated next to a flowing river, and Arjuna bathed in its clear waters, then sat down to meditate. As he did so, conch shells were heard in the sky, and showers of flowers fell from the heaven. Arjuna was pleased by the auspicious signs. He sat with his half-closed eyes, controlling his breathing, and began to intone prayers to Shiva. During the first month of his meditations, Arjuna ate only fruit on every third day. During the second month, he ate fruit only on every sixth day. And during the third month, he ate fruit once a fortnight. During the fourth month, he lived only on air, standing on the tips of his toes with his arms upraised. He bathed three times a day and kept his mind and senses under perfect control. Right, so when they go into this meditation, then they go and take their bath and all that. I mean, when they go into samadhi, maybe they don't, you know, like that. But otherwise, when they're doing that, they have their morning duties, they do those things, then they sit and meditate, offer the prayers, then they do again. So that's the standard thing. It's not that it's an excuse for not taking bath. Right? As a result of his austerities, Arjuna began to glow like the sun. In the heavens, the celestial rishis grew anxious. They approached Shiva and said, Arjuna has become greatly effulgent due to his austerities on the breast of the Himalayas. The earth is becoming heated by his asceticism and is sending forth smoke. O chief of the gods, you should stop him before he upsets the universal order by the power of his penance. Shiva replied, you need not feel any anxiety on account of Falguni. He does not wish to attain the heaven or prosperity. I know his purpose and will satisfy him today. Right? Because generally when someone comes and has so much focus that they do these things, because we have to understand that yoga, generally speaking, most people are doing it for the mystic cities or for some other purpose. So it's always for a material purpose. So then they're seeing him, he's becoming so powerful, so determined. So now someone who's so determined that can become so powerful, that generally means his material intent is so great that once he gets his power, he'll be such a materialist, like Hiranyakashipu and others, they did like that. So the rishis are worried, but then Shiva knows that, no, it's Falguni, it's Arjuna. He's not going to do that. He has another purpose, so he's not going to create trouble. The rishis bowed before Shiva and returned to their own abodes. Shiva then assumed the form of a tall, powerful, golden-hued hunter and ascended to the place where Arjuna was meditating. Uma, his consort, accompanied him in a similar costume, and many of his goblin followers. So they all came dressed as hunters that live out in the forest. So you wouldn't think that here's Shiva and that. He comes looking just like a hunter. And then the goblin followers, they assumed various forms and wore bright cotton garments, followed them. Many of the female goblins assumed the forms of beautiful women and also descended. Right? Because the point is, when you have a powerful person, you don't see them alone. Right? Shiva comes like this and that. They always come with a whole entourage. Like you see, when Indra officially comes, then he'll be with everybody. Like this. As Shiva appeared on the mountainside with his followers, the mountain seemed ablaze with beauty. Strangely, however, all nature became silent. Even the springs and waterfalls ceased their sounds. As Shiva arrived, he saw a Danava assume the form of a boar and charge at Arjuna. The demon intended to kill Arjuna, right? Because the Danavas, they're always going to be opposed to Vishnu and the demigods, the Vaishnavas and the demigods. So here is, you know, Arjuna, who's a devotee and like this, and so he's going to come. Because we see later in the battle, the Danavas are supporting Duryodhana, and the demigods are supporting the Pandavas. The demon intended to kill Arjuna, and he roared loudly in challenge. Arjuna heard the boar's roar and quickly lifted and strung his bow. Placing a virulent arrow on his bowstring, Arjuna called out, I have done you no harm. As you seek to kill me, I shall certainly send you to Yamaraja's abode. Yes, so now, next class we'll hear what happened in this. event. Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.